You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily fantasy basketball podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball Fast Break Edition podcast. My name is Josh Lloyd and I am the lead fantasy analyst at basketballmonster.com, and you can find me on Twitter as always at redrock_bball. Today we're going to be looking at some players who could be available on the waiver wire in your league who could help you for the short term or possibly the long term, and then doing a quick fantasy check-in on the Atlanta Hawks, the Brooklyn Nets and the Boston Celtics. Michael Bolton.
Let's get to it.
Hi guys, let's talk about some waiver wire potential options for you in your leagues, guys, that could be available on the wire who could help you short term or long term. The first guy I want to talk about is Kenneth Faried, of course, the hot name over the weekend once it was announced that the Brooklyn Nets would be negotiating a buyout for his contract and he will sign with the Houston Rockets. Of course, you know, Faried is not a well-rounded fantasy player by any means of any sort of metric, but with the Rockets having Clint Capela out and the report from Woj saying that he will play significant minutes. Now, does significant mean 15 minutes? Does it mean 26 minutes? I think it's probably in the mid to low 20s range more than anything. But Faried is a guy who's putting up strong rebounding numbers. He can score and do it efficiently. He's not going to do much in assists. He's not going to get steals. He's going to be a poor free throw shooter. He's not going to block a ton of shots. But I think the ability for him to come in and be a 50% Clint Capela, a guy who scores efficiently, who grabs rebounds at a large rate without the blocks of Capela, I think that's a possibility for the short term. And he's someone that you'd need to be having a look at. Yeah, I think what we're going to see is he's going to be taking all of James Nunnally's minutes, who will be waived by this team. Marquise Chris and Isaiah Hartenstein won't be in the rotation. And you'll see some of Gary Clark's minutes go away as well. Now, once Capela's back, Faried goes to a really, really minimal role. Maybe not even in the rotation at all. But for the time being, I think Faried is someone we should be looking at adding. Kelly Oubre Jr., who's pushing himself to 30 minutes every night. Prior to Devin Booker's injury, he was getting like 26 minutes a night. And he wasn't a player that was really worth paying attention to. But at the moment, he's getting a lot of minutes. The other thing he's doing at the moment is he's also increasing his defensive numbers. Something which he'd been always a solid scorer, an inefficiently solid scorer in Washington, but did nothing else. But over the last seven games, he's giving you 1.4 steals, 0.9 blocks, and shooting 47% from the field. And that's enough for him to be added in majority of formats. Now, he's probably rostered in most leagues, but if he's still floating around in a 12-teamer, he is a guy that I would go and grab. Justin Holiday, he's not great, but he's picked up 10 steals over his last three games. Kyle Anderson is out. So if you're looking for those 3-and-D type stats that Holiday was providing in Chicago, for the short term, while Anderson is sidelined, Holiday is a worthy add. Again, it's probably just a short-term scenario, but he is worth taking a look at. His former teammate, PunchBob Shiploke, Bobby Portis of the Chicago Bulls, Wendell Carter Jr. is, for all intents and purposes, out for the rest of the season with that thumb surgery. Portis is going to start now. Portis is not a good player at all, I don't think, in real life. But what he can be a volume scorer and a real garbage time specialist. And we know the Bulls are going to have plenty of garbage time. Portis can come in, he can score, he can get rebounds, he'll hit threes. Yes, there'll be no defensive numbers. Yes, there'll be zero assists. Yes, the efficiency can be a problem for Portis, but the minutes I think are going to be solid, although the last game he's only played 24 minutes coming off the bench with Robin Lopez starting, but he is worth adding. I wouldn't be going overboard for it. I wouldn't be thinking he's some sort of savior. I think he's probably around that 100, 110 sort of a mark player, but he is a guy that you go and grab, and he is available still in 59% of Yahoo leagues. Mo Harkless. It's always a hard one to recommend Harkless just because of this knee injury, but he was back last game. He looks solid. He claims that his knee is fine now, and his ability to provide the triple one, maybe even triple one and a half type numbers on decent field goal percentage can be really valuable. Think of him as an older McCall Bridges type of a player, a guy that's not going to score much. And maybe it's only 8 points a game, 9 points a game. Maybe that's all he does. But 1.5 steals, 1.2 blocks, if he can give you 1.5 to 1.9 threes, that's enough to be a 12-team league guy. He's not for the faint of heart. He's not for a guy who is really, really battling for the playoffs. He could be just a luxury guy who could put up a 3 or 4 week run in March of top 70 value, and that could be enough in your fantasy playoffs to get you over the line. Royce O'Neal, this is really short-term for Royce, but he is playing a ton of minutes with Ricky Rubio, Dante Exum, and Hal Neto all out at the moment. O'Neal, over the past 2 weeks, is the 75th ranked player. He's averaging 2 threes a game, 7 rebounds a game, almost a steal, and shooting 53% from the field. Look, these are nice numbers, and we're talking really short term here, because as soon as one of these guys comes back, the minutes drop. When two of these guys come back, the minutes drop again. So we are going to see Rubio and Neto back in probably the next couple of games. Maybe it's another week or so. It's not long term, but for short term value, O'Neal has that short term value that we're looking for. Terry Ross of the Orlando Magic. Well, with John Simmons pushed out of the rotation, last game Simmons started because Gordon was out, but otherwise out of the rotation, Ross is getting 29, 30 minutes a night. He's scoring 17 points per game over the last eight, including 3 triples, and it's not coming on stupid high shooting. 45% from the field is fine. 39% from three, it's solid. And these are good numbers. 1.1 steals. 3 triples, these are all good numbers. And I think Ross, while I'm not going to label him a must roster guy, he's pretty close to it, and he's someone that you should be paying attention to, available in 48% of Yahoo leagues. Etwan Moore, another guy we have a look at, not for everybody, someone who's really just going to provide scoring with some threes, but that could be all you need to help get your team into a more of a winning position. He's back locked in as a starter, getting 30 plus minutes a night. There's going to be little value in many of the other areas, but with Anthony Davis out, some of that usage has to go somewhere. Now, most of it will go to Randall and Holiday, but you would imagine that Etwan Moore sees a little bit more usage, and maybe that can give him an extra 2 or 3 points per game, and that could push him short-term into that top 100 zone. Of course, in deeper leagues related to the Anthony Davis injury, Jahlil Okafor is a guy that you want to pay attention to. Cheick Diallo, I'd like to say, is the guy, but that's not the way that Gentry's been running that rotation, unfortunately. Marvin Bagley, the time is now to grab him. The minutes are on the way up. The production's there. There's going to be issues with free throw percentage. We know that. He's going to have some rough field goal percentage nights, but I think he should be rostered in all leagues at the moment. The roster percentage is climbing for him. He's just crept over 60%, but he shouldn't be on any waiver wires at the moment. PJ Tucker is a top 50 player over the last 2 weeks, averaging 11.5 and 6 with over 2 threes, but most importantly, 2.4 steals. That's what's really driving his value. If that falls off, he's probably not even a top 100 guy. But if you're looking for a short-term boost in threes and steals, think a better version of Justin Holiday. PJ Tucker could be that guy, getting a couple of extra minutes with the injury to Clint Capela. Now, Fareed's arrival could have an impact on that. And those steals can be a little bit fluky, but Tucker's providing value. And while he's doing it, you add him and you see how it goes. But you don't drop a long-term type prospect or someone who potentially could have that long-term value to grab him. These are another couple of our flyer guys I think are worth looking at. Ante Zizic of the Cleveland Cavaliers. He's averaging 23 minutes a game over the last 7 games, 13-7. With over half a block on 63% from the field and 89% from the line. Tristan Thompson's missed the last 2 games with a sore foot. Larry Nance and Kevin Love continue to be sidelined. I would love for them to just give Zizic that starting center job over Thompson when he's healthy, but he only needs 23, 24 minutes a night to be close to a 12-team league must-roster guy. He's not there yet. He's still available in 89% of leagues. I'd add him in every 14-team league that I could, and I'd seriously consider it in 12-team leagues. A guy that came across from Europe with great per-minute numbers, with really, really strong fantasy translations, as did his fellow Zed brethren, Ivica Zubac of the Los Angeles Lakers. He's not starting, and it is a three-man center rotation, which is annoying, but he has outplayed JaVale McGee and Tyson Chandler in each of the last 2 games. He played well earlier on in the season when both of those guys were hurt, and he's worth taking a flyer on, because if Walton wants to go with the better center, then maybe Zubac is that option. Now, I still think McGee's the guy because he can provide a little bit more of a deterrent at the rim. Now, McGee is a good shot blocker, but not a good defender. And Zubac sort of falls into that similar zone. But in terms of fantasy value, Zubac is a much better option than, say, Tyson Chandler, who's been starting. And again, if you've got that flyer stream type spot, adding someone like Zubac and just seeing where it goes over the next couple of weeks, he's taken huge strides over the last 2 months. He gets, much like Zizic, if he gets 24 minutes a night, then he is a top 100 type player. And if you want to get ahead of the curve, adding someone like Zubac could be a way to go. Kevin Huerter of the Atlanta Hawks is the 44th ranked player over the last 2 weeks. He is rostered in still just 32% of leagues. I don't know how long I've been saying this for Huerter, but I believe he is a must-add player. He's getting a huge bump in minutes with Bazemore out at the moment and Prince limited, but I do believe that Bazemore will be traded by this team. I don't think Huerter is losing this starting spot at all, and I think his confidence will continue to rise as the season rolls on. He's averaging 16.5 points with 3 triples, 5 rebounds, and 4.5 assists. over his last six games. He should not be on any waiver wires, in my opinion, in anything that 10-10 leagues, it's a little bit touch and go. But this is a guy who I don't think he's going to be a top 50 player the rest of the season. I think he's going to be around that 100 to 115 type of mark. But the potential of Bazemore moving and him going from 31 minutes a night to 36 minutes a night, I think that's real and you have to grab him, I believe. And I've been saying that for weeks, but he still is available in plenty of leagues. The next guy I want to talk about is Marco Ballinelli, who, while he isn't a must roster player, he's doing what Terrence Ross is doing, but he's available in 79% of leagues. Over the last six games, he's averaging 17 points on 51 or 52% shooting and including three triples per game. Now, there's a huge room for regression here because he's shooting 53% on his threes, and that's likely to drop, but he is providing consistent three-pointers. That whole Spurs bench is Patty Mills and Davis Bertans as well. You're getting about six or seven threes out of those guys every night. The starting lineup hits no threes, but these guys hit a ton. And Ballinelli, over the last 2 weeks, the 62nd ranked player ahead of guys like Andre Drummond, Domantas Sabonis, Kyle Kuzma, Aaron Gordon, the list goes on, Malcolm Brogdon, CJ McCollum, in fact. So these are really, really strong numbers with that knowledge that the shooting level is likely to decline at some point coming up for Ballinelli. But the numbers at the moment, they're pretty strong. And the last guy is someone who I talk about all the time, Timothy John McConnell of the Philadelphia 76ers. 7 points per game isn't interesting. 5.4 assists and 1.3 steals is, and he's available in 92% of leagues. So if you're looking for someone to fill that Marcus Smart role, and Marcus Smart's already been taken, McConnell's the guy. Now, Markel Fultz has apparently rejoined the team to continue rehabbing from his thoracic outlet syndrome issue. That doesn't mean he's going to be playing anytime soon. And McConnell, again, we're not relying upon him for anything apart from assists and steals. But if you need assists and steals, he's going to bring it. He's been doing it consistently every game. Furkan Korkmaz is out of the rotation at the moment. We're seeing McConnell just consistently can do those things where the value lies. And that's something that he's used for. Again, an underrated guy. That the points are an issue. 7 points is not great. But look at where you are. Can that fit your team? And that's what using the team analysis on Basketball Monster can really help you figure out if that's going to hurt or help your team. But he needs to be considered. And he needs to be rostered in more than 8% of leagues, considering he is, over the last 2 weeks, the 110th ranked fantasy player. That'll do it for looking at waiver wire guys that might be able to help you in your fantasy league. All right, guys, fantasy check-in time for the Atlanta Hawks. And what I thought I'd do is go through these teams and have a look at players who could be traded on the team with the trade deadline less than only a couple of weeks away, really, and potential players who could benefit. And the Hawks have got a ton of trade candidates. If I had to choose the most likely guy to get dealt on this team, it would be Dwayne Dedman. Your other options are Kent Bazemore and Jeremy Lin, but they're both making in excess of $13 million, almost $14 million for Lin and over $18 for Bazemore. Dedman at just $7 million is a much more easily movable salary. So if Dedman does go, that's going to pretty much eliminate his value. But what it does do is it means guys, and if you're looking to stash, again, I'm not a massive stash fan, but with 2 weeks out, you can probably afford that if you're in a strong position in your league. The guys that are going to benefit there are going to be Alex Len, but I think the guy we really want to pay attention to is more of the wizard, Omari Spellman, who started the last couple of games that Dedman's been out. One was strong, one was not that great, but he is that guy that I think with their commitment to developing youth, we've seen Kevin Huerter thrown in there, we've seen Spellman start multiple games this season, Young and John Collins running things as well. I think that we'll see a stretch through late February through to the end of the season that Spellman will start. He'll play 25 or 26 minutes a night, and he could crack top 120 value. Now, Len is the other option there. I think they just like Len in that backup role, but Spellman would be the one to watch if Dwayne Dedman gets moved, which again is something that I do think the Hawks will, they'll be looking to move all of these guys, but he to me is the most likely to move on from this team. I'd put it at almost a 70% chance of him not being on this team once March starts, whether that is via trade or via a buyout, which I guess we'll see whether that actually comes to fruition. Fantasy check-in time now for the Brooklyn Nets. And let's try and find out a player, or I guess give my best guess of a guy who might be traded on this team. It's a little bit harder to find that guy on this team, but there is a bunch of players who are unrestricted free agents. Damari Carroll, Jared Dudley, Ed Davis, they're all unrestricted free agents. But the guy that I do want to talk about here is Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, who will be a restricted free agent. He's been injured pretty much all season, dealing with multiple groin injuries. He hasn't looked anywhere near close to their best or second best or third best player. You can make the argument D'Angelo Russell, Spencer Dinwiddie, Caris LeVert, Jarrett Allen, that in terms of players on this team, that he's down at fifth. And then maybe in terms of prospects, Rowdy Rodions Kurucs is even a better option. Smoke and Joe Harris could be ahead of him as well. There's a bunch of guys that I think that I would have over Hollis Jefferson, and the Nets may as well. So I think that he is a sneaky chance to be traded by this team before restricted free agency hits. The other guy we'd look at is Damari Carroll on an expiring deal, age of 33. I'm not sure that will actually happen and he would bring back much in terms of assets. But Hollis Jefferson is the guy that I would look at. And in that case, that would give a lot more value to Kurucs in terms of his value moving forward, and even for deeper leagues, Trevion Graham. Now, Kurucs at the moment is a fringe 12-team league guy, more of a must-roster 14-team league guy. And I think that in a 14-team, if he was available, and he's available in 94% of leagues, he's a guy that I'd have a look at just grabbing just in case one of these moves. Because even if it is Kurucs, if it's Carroll, if they somehow find a way to get off Alan Crabb as well, all that is going to do is open up minutes for Kurucs as well. So I think that he's the guy that stands to benefit from any of these scenarios going down, and that would be the way that I'm looking at it. But I am a little bit worried about Rondae Hollis-Jefferson's future in Brooklyn. All right, let's take a look now at the Boston Celtics fantasy check-in time. What we're doing over these next couple of weeks is looking at players on teams who might be the best candidate to be traded and what could happen in that scenario. Now, with the Celtics, they're probably the hardest team to figure out. And I don't really see any moves that really stand out. The common consensus is that Terry Rozier is going to be moved before he hits restricted free agency. I don't see it for Rozier. The Celtics are trying to push themselves into a position to win a championship or get to an NBA Finals. And if Kyrie Irving goes down, they need Rozier. He's a clear part of their rotation. Yes, he's been absolutely putrid for the majority of this season. He is a lot worse than people think that he is. But I still don't think that means that he is going to be dealt unless they get blown away. In terms of unrestricted free agents, you've got Kyrie and Al Horford, who both have player options. I don't think there's any concern with those guys. Aaron Baines is a player option as well. Marcus Morris, the guy who is an unrestricted free agent, he's making $5 million a year. You're not getting anyone back who's going to be an improvement on Morris at that sort of a salary. So I don't really see him being someone that gets moved. Gordon Hayward is owed a lot of money, and the way that he has played, I don't see anyone taking those sort of numbers on. I think if they're looking to make a move, it would be on the margins. Guys like Semi Ojeleye, maybe Gershon Yabesele, that if they could get off those guys who make a combined $4 million this season, that could be something that they look to do, but that's not going to have too much of an impact for fantasy basketball. Just because I can't really see a trade having an impact on their fantasy season. I'll just quickly mention Marcus Morris, whose fantasy value was really buoyed by his efficiency. It's gone at the moment. Look, it could come back, but we've seen 4, 5, 6 seasons of Marcus Morris being a bad shooter, and we saw 30 games of it being a good one. I will put my stock in him being a bad one until we see more of a change, and it is starting to regress there. He's not a drop candidate yet. He's getting awfully close to it, especially in 10-team leagues and in 12-team leagues. I think sometimes you've got to be ahead of the curve in these sort of moves, and he'd be the player that I would start considering. He's already fallen outside the top 100 over the last month, and that's while he's shooting 46% from the field. And if that goes back to career numbers of 44%, then he's not going to be a rosterable 12-team league guy. And that'll do it for another Locked On Fantasy Basketball Fast Break Edition podcast. We'll be back tomorrow to talk about the top 20 players in fantasy basketball and look at the Cleveland Cavaliers, the Charlotte Hornets, and the Chicago Bulls and what trades could go down there. Make sure you are subscribing to this podcast, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, TuneIn, Stitcher, Spotify, and on YouTube. Give it a thumbs up, leave a comment, and hit that bell so you make sure you never miss an episode. Guys, we are done here. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.